Thank you, Lord. Beautiful song there, talks about I surrender. I surrender all to the Lord, amen. You know, that's where we've been talking for a while about making sure that Jesus is truly the Lord of our life. You know, that we're not holding anything back from Him. Can you hear me okay with this? Somebody in my ears can't hear very good this morning, so. What's that? What?
I said
neither did I. Oh. Okay. I'm turning the lights up. Okay. Something the Lord was just laid on my heart back there. He was telling me that the church will rise from the ashes, triumphant in a time of great turmoil. So shake off what will hold you back. Be ready to respond as the church needs to respond, to check ourselves and be prepared. And we have to check ourselves, each one of us, is if we woke up tomorrow morning and life as we knew it was upside down. Okay? Let's say the grid went down, the electricity is gone. Would we be ready to respond for the Lord? And we kind of shared that each one has got to check ourselves. And what he gave me, the word was moderation, is make sure that if it took place tomorrow, there's nothing that you'd have to do or work through in order to respond how God would want us to respond. And one thing is, if you imagine all your neighbors are like, what's going on? You know, we've been talking about the prophecy also in Matthew 24. Folks, things are lining up. The birth pains have started. They're increasing. We see that all the time. I mean, when we hear more about Ukraine and Iran and China and Russia and all that stuff, it's all lining up. It's not, oh, here we go again. No, it is. We are in the baby's in the canal, okay? If I put it that way. And so, the greatest time for the church since Pentecost would be raised up, great turmoil, but may not for the church, not for those who are anchored in the Lord. But what he's showing, like tomorrow morning, if things went haywire, I woke up, oh man, well, I need to respond, but hang on a second. I got to get me a pot of coffee before I can go somewhere. We got an amen somewhere? Okay. Let me hang on. Let me grab a cigarette for out the door, you know. They go hand in hand. Well, okay, well, not picking on nobody, okay? It could be anything. Maybe halfway into this thing or the next day, you just can't focus. Why? Because your cell phone's not working. Well, folks, I'm telling you, our youngest son, Vincent, worked for Verizon. And he said, you'd be surprised people would come in carrying their phones in, devastated. Because their entire life is on this thing. Their entire life, every contact. Folks, I mean, what we need to do, if anything I mentioned today is what you're involved in, is not condemning you. It's preparing you. We all got something, okay? Amen. I mean, I'm cutting back on my coffee, okay? But we got to look and see what we're doing today and start weaning away from it. Because they won't be there, okay? Anybody watch, don't raise your hand, Ben, watch TV, okay? Do you ever go down and get the 12 seasons of Seinfeld or whatever it is? And you sit there all day. I mean, we need to start weaning ourselves away from that. The Bible says moderation, okay? Moderation. And there's a reason for that. Because he says, God says, do not be addicted to anything. And that can be chocolate candy. Maybe you're addicted to chocolate candy. Maybe you're addicted to shopping. Whatever it might be, it's time to focus more on the Lord. And it's easy to start drawing back, weaning yourself off now, instead of being in the middle of a crisis and trying to overcome our habits, our addicted habits, and try and be out there helping other people. And we know these days are coming. The Master told us that. And so we just want to prepare ourselves. And you know, we've all been prepared in our life for some things. Military folks, you exercise, you prepare for battle, okay? A lot of things you prepare for. And the toughest thing would be is for me to get up on Friday morning and, or let's say Sunday. I leave church the next Sunday or in the fall. I get done preaching, I hop my car, drive to Cleveland, I put on a football outfit and go out in the field. And I'm like, yeah. Now, how would I survive, guys? No, I couldn't outrun the ref. You know what I'm saying? But if I was going to do that, I need to prepare myself, you know? I either got to, what does a lineman do or whatever I would be? I don't know what it would be. Bench warmer, okay? Semi-replace. There you go, yeah. But I can look at the Browns, and I had a buddy of mine that belonged to Browns. Everybody knew Mike Rusk. He was part of their team in 68 for a while. And he went through a lot of conditioning and stuff like that. So knowing what football players go through and knowing, watching them on the games and watching them being carried off the field and all this kind of stuff, man, if I'm going to go step on that field, I better have myself prepared. Otherwise, I'm not going to survive. And that's what God wants us to do. Is that it's not a message of scaring you. It's just a message of preparation, that everything in moderation. Just see what's that one thing that you can't get through the day without. You know, coffee, okay, it might be, yeah, amen. I mean, and then start weaning ourselves off of it. I'm not saying it's a sin to drink coffee. I'm not saying anything. It's something that God guide you. But the key word is not to be addicted to anything. And it's very easy to get ourselves addicted as a habit. You know, something you just got to have. And so the Lord just wants us to check ourselves and just wean ourselves off of that. The addiction part of it, you know. I mean, you can still enjoy it. I mean, still enjoy watching Andy Griffith tonight or whatever. Just, you know, and I've been guilty of it. I've been guilty there. I sat there before, tired, and turned on the TV, and I might watch 8 episodes of Andy Griffith. And I know every one of them by heart. I quote them by heart, you know. I can get up, go to the bathroom, come back, and quote while I'm in the bathroom. I mean, I just, yeah, you can't do it. Yeah, amen. So, again, just preparing ourselves, because, man, I tell you, the prayers that we've been praying, the intercessory and stuff, is taking place, and we can count on God's Word being true. And so, He's just preparing us for it. And I want to share another thing. This isn't an original. I came across it yesterday. It really speaks to my heart, because we're always, as a people, and people I run into, we're always praying for our children, are we not? And grandchildren and loved ones. And this really spoke to me yesterday. I just want to, another avenue here, I guess. I never looked at it this way before. But, and some of you guys have maybe the group you follow. It's called Beauty for Ashes and Hope. But I was talking last night about praying for our prodigals tonight. To those in the trenches of addiction or any other sin, the Lord is with you in your grief. May you feel His comfort and know that your children can run from you, from their upbringing. They can think they're running from God and the church, but they can't escape our prayers. Keep praying and stand in the gap. Jesus is a chain breaker. Lord, we say, call them by name. Draw them into the truth by your Holy Spirit. Call them forth from the north and south, east and west. There's an army rising up in the name of Jesus. Ezekiel 37, verse 9 and 10. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied, it commanded me, and breath entered them. And they came to life and stood up on their feet as a vast army. And right now we might have loved ones that are dead in their sins. Okay? They're called dry bones. But prophesy, continue to speak. Again, that's Ezekiel 37, verse 9 and 10. And God has an awesome thing in bringing back those who are away. God brings back those who are dead in their trespasses. But He works through us to speak. So that's just another verse. As we, you know, I've given you a lot of verses over the years how to pray for your children, You know, when you're praying, just prophesying, calling by name, I declare that the breath of God will come back into them bones. It'll be raised up. And what's been taught to them shall come to remembrance. They shall breathe and become a mighty army for the Lord. They shall know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. We continue to cast down and we bind that devil and his lies and enter in their minds today in the name of Yeshua. Man, I saw it last night. Boy, it really spoke to me. I thought I'd bring it in and share it to you. I can make copies, but it's a beauty for ashes and hope, healing in Jesus. And it's just an awesome thing that we have that we really inspirational, you know. So I wasn't called into ministry to reinvent the wheel, just had another spoke to it. So when you see something already rolling, to share that. So, amen. Amen. Praise God. But we go to Revelation this morning. 22:12. Because the trying times that you are in I talked to a lot of people and a lot of people getting wore out, amen. We were getting wore out, but man, you don't want to give up. You want to throw it in. One day I'll get this over here. But in Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. It says, "Behold, I am coming quickly." This is Jesus speaking. "And my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." And folks, every day we're closer to that verse coming true. Amen. And the Lord says, "I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render every man according to what he has done." Okay? Whatever he has done. So, whether with the Lord or away from the Lord, you know, the rewards of our labors is coming. And the thing of it is, remember, is that you don't want to surrender what God has already given you. Amen? It's worth it to continue on one more day, one more time. Not to turn your back, not to give up. Don't let Satan get in your head and tell you it's not worth it anymore. And don't let any of these false prophecies, false prophets, lying tongue devils in the pulpits that's telling you anything different than what this Word of God says. Don't let it infiltrate you. Don't let it enter you. Don't even think about it. Don't even take that stuff contrary to the Bible. Don't even bring it around the dinner table and even kick around. Because Satan will do anything he can to get a hold of your mind. Anything. Just bring a little bit of doubt in there. You know, he started right back in the garden. But did he say? Did he say? You know, when Eve was talking about what God was saying, right away the devil starts twisting it around. Now, I would imagine I never heard they had any pens and papers in the garden, but they would have wrote it down, exactly what God had told Adam, and Adam would have gave it to Eve, and the devil said, "Listen, did he say? You'll be as smart as him." She could run right back to the paper and said, "Do not eat from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The minute you do, you shall die." That should be it. Boom. But she just listened. It wore it down. Whatever it was caused them to walk away from the warning that God gave them. In our hands right here, you have the Word of God. It's not changing. It's still the same today it was yesterday and 2,000 years ago. So anything that comes into your life, anything that comes that is contrary to this, spit it out. Get rid of it. Don't listen to it. Don't entertain it. Because no good. And I'm telling you, there's plenty out there today that's trying to water down this thing. But God said no. And listen to him. John 14. John 14. I quote this a lot. I share this a lot of times when I do homecoming parties at funerals and stuff, you know, because this is an awesome thing God's promised to us. John 14, verse 1. It says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places, or many mansions, which version you have. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. How do we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. I always like to read it this way, the last verse. Everyone will come to the Father through me. Our loved ones will come to the Father through Jesus. Amen? Is that the truth written right there, Kenny? And then contrary to that, there's a lie from the devil, ain't it, brother? I'm telling you what. And he'll get in and twist your head around. He'll try to twist your things. And we'll have loved ones that step into the glory of the Lord and sit and come along and try to convince you that they weren't born again. They weren't saved. How about this, 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 this? And he's a liar, ain't he? Amen? He is a liar. I'm telling you right now. He is a stinking liar. And the Bible tells us in Acts, there's three different places. It says, all those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Shall be saved, shall be saved. And that is God's word. All those who call upon the name of the Lord, those who confess Jesus Christ as Lord, shall be saved. Doesn't say anything about working this hard, working that hard, giving this much money. But when a person comes to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, they call upon His name, Father, forgive me, Christ come into my life, I surrender my life to you. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Wow. He said, I'll go prepare a place for you. And when I do, I'll come and receive you. Meaning the day that we step into glory, He's there for us. He's already prepared a place for us, Kenny. You know that? You know? For little Aveda, Cheryl here recently, John. You know, I always say the Motel 6 up in heaven. A million doors up there, and every door's got a name on it. Already prepared for folks. And through Jesus Christ, we enter His presence. There's our mansion right there. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. So may that motivate us. May continue on to serve Him. And not grow weary. Don't grow faint. You know, some of us go home earlier. God knows the plans and purposes of our life. He knows what's best for us. Amen? He knows whether or not we can make it through another day, another year, another month. You know, I don't have all the answers. I just know that I trust in God. There's a great reunion coming. Okay? But that day's coming. Here we are getting ready, man, as the church is coming up out of the ashes of this ugliness of this world to raise up His light shining, drawing people to the Master, surrendering their lives to Jesus, repenting from their sins, snatching one more out of the hand of the devil. Think of that. Slap him two ways from Friday, I think they say that. Okay? Amen. But I wanted to give you the scriptures that way. You can read them yourself, too. I got them here somewhere. There they are. They slid down on me. Joel 2:42. Book of Joel. We're not in there too often, are we? I know it's not a 42. It's 32, guys. Yeah. I'll start with verse 30. It says, the Lord, the day of the Lord, and I will display wonders in the sky and on the earth, blood, fire, and columns of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. It will come about that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be delivered. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be those who escape. As the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls. And I got a couple more verses. I just want to plow there just for a second. He says, in the great day of the Lord, okay? blood, fire, and column of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon into blood. You know, we're talking about stepping into the book of Revelations. Amen. And what do you say right there in the Revelations? It will come about that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be delivered. It will come about that those who have heard your testimony, those who have heard your witnessing, those who you sowed seed into, those who may have missed the rapture, those who are in the 7 years of tribulation, so those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Shall be saved. Is God a liar? No, he is not a liar. So I'm telling you what, as you witness to people today and you think it's bouncing off their ears and not penetrating, not gone nowhere, I'm telling you what, you're planting seeds for a harvest, but when the harvest is going to be, only God knows. Understand that. For those who might miss the rapture of the church, the seeds are planted. Right there, the Word of God says that all those who will call upon the name of the Lord, when they say, oh man, God, I'm sorry, Starkey was right. Carol was right. Vicky was right. God, they told me the truth. Man, you are God. You are Lord. Forgive me my sins. Forgive me, Lord. All those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So please do not think what you're doing is wasteful time. Do you not think those that you say you witness to and they turn their back on you, right now they laugh at you. You're sowing a seed and trust in the Lord. Let that seed bring relief to you. Let it take the pressure off of you. Let it remove the sadness in you. You're done. Anybody remember a guy named Johnny Appleseed? I remember reading about it in school. I don't know if was he a real person sowing apples on you? But he sowed apples all over the place. Seeds. He didn't stay and watch the seed grow. He planted it. Why? He trusted the seed. God created that seed. God said, put it in the soil. I'll water it. I'll raise it up. But I need you to plant it. If Johnny Appleseed would never planted the apple seed, the trees never grew, would they? Amen. He did his part. And how God created that seed, it did its part. And folks, that's the way each one of us is today. The seed is the Word of God. And when we share and we live for the Lord and people look at your life and see Jesus, you're sowing that seed in them. Even though they might reject you right now, maybe they might turn their back on you. They're not turning their back on you. They're turning their back on the Word of God. Probably the same way we did for years. But that seed is planted. And that rapture takes place and God takes His church away, and if we have loved ones, we have friends, we have enemies that you witness to and they refuse to receive it while we were here. He's telling me right there, okay, those who call upon me. The Bible also tells me that in those days, brimstone will be falling out of the sky, 100 pounds they figure, anyway, falling down on top of people, and says some men will stand there and curse God. Instead of repenting and cursing God. So what's the difference between the ones cursing God, the ones who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? I believe the one who called upon the name of the Lord has had that seed sown into their life. And maybe the one who was cursing God, hung out with other people who had nothing to do with God, and never listened, never had that seed planted. I don't know. But our hope is the Word of God. Amen. Exactly. So let that lift you up, folks. Let it lift you. Let it just say, oh, man. Yeah, they're not in church with me today. Okay, but I'm going to love you, Jesus, and I know your word is true. And I speak life in them old bones. I speak life to them bones that they're going to raise up in an army. They're going to worship you, Lord. They're going to call upon your name. Oh, thank you, Lord. Because those that you've been witnessing to, talking to, they wouldn't have any hope if it wasn't for you. Or may I put it this way, maybe they won't have any hope. You might be the only one that's praying for them. Only one that witnessed to them. And that could be anywhere. Anywhere. You know? Again, this way of being nice in a restaurant, nice in a line, waiting to pay for something. Just being above and beyond what normal people would do who don't know Jesus. It's a witness to them. You know? And if they would miss the rapture, it would be like, man, what did that crazy dude Kenny tell me about? in Acts 2:21. Again, just reaffirming. Because sometimes you look at stuff in the Old Testament, and it's about the Old Testament, not the New Testament. Well, here in Acts 2:21, we get the same quotation coming out. And it says, "And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And again, when that conviction comes to someone's heart, they call upon the name of the Lord. That's it, man. And, you know, we shared, it might have been last week. It's not particularly the words that a person says. It's the changing of one's heart, you know. Now, I've led a lot of folks to the Lord before. I prayed with them. I said, you know, if you want to, just, you know, I'll lead you in a prayer if it's in your heart and say that, you know. But then I heard another guy lead somebody to the Lord a couple years ago in here. And he says, hey, listen, you know, yeah, I want Jesus. Okay, well, just talk to him. Tell him. Share your heart. Oh, that was awesome, you know. Because just share your heart with the Lord. Forgive me. And that person is my son Ryan. That was an awesome way of lead. I never forgot that. I use that quite often, you know. It's brilliant. Romans 5:15. No, that's not what I wanted. I wanted Romans 10:13. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm going to jump up and start with verse 5. For Moses writes that the man who practices the righteousness which is based on law shall live by that righteousness. But the righteousness based on faith speaks as follows. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is in the word of faith which we are preaching. And if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For which the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. Amen. Then he continued on. He says, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And that's what I love. It says here, but confess with your mouth, and you know in your heart. And it goes back to the thing where, for yourself and for those you're witnessing to, they're hearing that word of God, okay? They're hearing it. But they haven't confessed Christ yet. But when it gets into their heart, get into their spirit, they will. That's the difference between hearing the word and believing in the word. And same with us today, you know, yourself, as we're always checking ourselves. It's knowing he is Jesus, knowing he's the Son of God, knowing that he died for our sins. Truly, he was buried, raised up from the dead again, sits in heaven. And we confess him as our Lord and Savior, yes. And we follow him. Did he say you'd be saved? Amen. Amen. Speaking the word of God and living for Christ is such an awesome thing he's called us to do. The lives that you're influencing today, every one of you, you influence the kingdom of God. That's an awesome thing. Let that, number one thing, to lift you up. You know how awesome God is with you? Do you know how joyful he is over you? And we just listened to something yesterday that talking about how God sings over us. I mean, that's our God. He sings over us. He sees everything you do. He sees the condition of your heart. When you think you failed him, you think that, oh man, I should have did this or done that. Or when you sin, and you confess it to Him, that brings joy to Him. You understand? The sin part, not necessary. But confessing Him, yes, God. Oh, man, He rejoices over you. When we say the joy of the Lord is my strength, the joy of the Lord, His joy, gives me strength. Wow. Even my failures, my desire to do for Him and I fail, He still has joy. Why? I'm His kid. Look at that. Wow. You know, and I think if we bring it down to earth with all of us here, when we have brothers and sisters, myself, when I fail, be joyful. Not that I fail, but I got back up again. Amen? I mean, I should be a joy. Amen. Hey, buddy, good to see you again. Oh, well, I'm telling you, I don't care. Do you have to tell me, we're glad you're back in fellowship. Yeah, amen, praise God. And that joyfulness, you know, just to know we're all together, you know. And that's what He wants, confessing it, that truly He is our Lord and our Savior. And for those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The thief on the cross, he didn't have a certain dialect that he had. I said that right? Dialect? Okay. I was thinking derelict for a second. No, it's not the same thing. But it was in his heart. Man, he looked at Christ and he said, yes, remember me. Now, that wasn't a 3-point prayer, was it? Hey, Lord, he acknowledged, he called. Wow. And so that's where our hope is today. You know, as you're sowing those seeds. And if in 3 minutes from now we hear the trumpet sound, we're out of here, knowing that the Word of God that we have spoken, that we have shared, is still alive and sharper than a two-edged sword. It is seed that's been planted into the hearts of our loved ones, our neighbors, our enemies, whoever we've been praying for. Those prayers go before the throne of God. We'll be in heaven. Our prayers will be up there with us. Still interceding. Why? Because we're praying the Word of God, right? God's Word never stops. It never stops. It's never void out. It goes on and on and on. My words can, but not God's Word. So as you pray God's Word, as you led by the Spirit and pray, it's going to continue on and on and on, fighting that battle. There, I feel better now. Drink out water. So, amen. Amen. A couple things in the, just want to share. Is that, again, looking at the Word of God here, He's coming soon for our reward. And what I was thinking about today, I went back to in my high school days. And I remember in high school, I was in a class called Occupational Work Experience, OWE. I call it getting out of school early, okay? But I had a job, and I thank God I did. But I would go to work. I worked 3 to 11 most of the time. I was a cook for a while and did different things, bottle gas. But some of my friends didn't have a job, and they'd be out running around and stuff, you know, and having a good time. Having a good time. And I go to work. And sometimes I'm kind of down out about it because, well, I got to work on a Friday night, you know, and being 16 or 17. But when payday come, it was worth it. You know, when I get my paycheck, it was worth having that job. And so what kept me going during the week was looking for that Friday paycheck or Monday, whenever Mr. Spittler paid us then. I had to keep my eyes on my reward. It's the same with us today, that we need to continue to keep our eyes on the reward that Christ is bringing to us. For each man, He says. But you know what that job did for me when I kept going to work and kept looking towards that paycheck and just kept busy? It kept me out of trouble. I don't know where I would have been. I was bad enough as it was. But if I had more free time on my hands, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how my life would have turned out. And so it's the same way today. You know, and I gotta say this. I do thank God for the teachers that I had. You know, Mr. Rebusell and Mr. Windwater. I'm telling you what, awesome. They would pop in. They would pop in. I know. I tell you what, they would pop in at work, make sure I was there. And I'm glad they did, because I thought I'd just skip work and go out and, you know, maybe party or something. You know, I didn't do it because maybe the time they show up, and they show up, I'd be out of class. You know, I went to school 1 hour a day my junior senior year. Who want to go for 8 hours? Not me. So it kept me motivated. You know, just kept me motivated. And I just thank God for what they've done. And so we look at the scriptures here, and the Word of God is doing the same thing. That, number one, we got our eyes on the prize, and that's Christ in our life. It's heaven. You know, our citizenship is in heaven. And someday soon, we know the signs that He's given us, we know He's coming back soon. So that can motivate us to continue to follow Him and share in the gospel. Amen. It's just like, okay, we see I see Mr. Spittler coming that paycheck, okay? So I can keep on moving. And God is coming for us. He is coming for us. And He shows us here in 1 Timothy 6, 6:11 some encouraging words here for us to motivate us. The Word of God's here the same way to motivate us as, if I can say, as my teachers was. You know, to check on me, you know. They gave us advice, didn't he, Kenny? That they told us that all they could do was tell us what we should do, the consequence of if we don't do it, and they're there to help us get through some tough times in our life. And in 1 Timothy 6:11, he tells us right up front, but flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. So this is all the stuff we should be involved in if we pursue God's righteousness, His godliness, keep continuing after faith, love, and perseverance, and gentleness. Man, our life is going to be okay, you know? We're going to let things bounce off of us more than absorbing them into our system, into our bodies, into our mind, into our spirit. When we say, hey, listen, I know I'm doing the right thing. People aren't receiving it. People aren't accepting it. People are rejecting me. But I know I'm doing the right thing. When you know you're doing what God wants us to do, whether the world receives it or not, let that lift you up. Just keep doing what you're doing. Keep following Him. And don't turn back. Don't turn back at all. If you go to Proverbs 2, chapter 2. I'm just going to jump in at verse 1 and go forward a little bit. Again, words here to encourage us with. Words here to keep us going. You know, to follow these. He says, my son, in Proverbs 2, verse 1, my son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. These are the things He wants us to do to continue on with Him. If we apply these to our life, I'm telling you what, it takes a lot of the pressure of the world off. Because why? Because we are pleasing God. We're doing what God's called us to do. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure, you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield of those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and preserves the way of His godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity in every good course. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. I mean, he's telling all these things that will happen to us as we pursue Him. Wisdom, understanding, knowledge. Who needs that? We all do, don't we? We need more of it. And so this is what happens to us as we pursue Him. Discretion will guard you, understanding will watch over you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. from those who leave the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who delight in doing evil and rejoice in the perversity of evil. He's going to guard us through all this stuff. Whose paths are crooked and whose are devious in their ways. To deliver you from the strange woman, from the adulteress who flatters with her words, that leaves a companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death and her tracks lead to dead. None who go to her return again, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land of, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be uprooted from it. Again, showing to us why. Why should we continue following the Lord? Why should we get closer to Him? Look what He's going to do. He's going to give you knowledge, wisdom, and discernment. He's going to keep you, if you allow Him, to keep you from walking the paths of unrighteousness. It will keep you from hanging around those who are walking in darkness, those who have fallen away, those who have never walked with the Lord. It will keep you from being taken away from what God has for you if we pursue Him. Amen? Think of that. I mean, just inside of it. And it's His Spirit in you. He'll give you that warning in your spirit. Watch out. You better check into it a little bit more. Better check into it. Because it's 1 degree off of a path that will take you way, way, way off the course as you continue to follow it. But He said, man, I'll do this for you. If you receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, otherwise follow my words. This is what I'm going to do for you. And then the last one we're going to turn to is Romans 13. Romans 13. When we see things in the Word of God that really realigns our path, that man, we really weren't doing what was pleasing God. That calls us to rejoice. Thank you, God, for showing it to me. Thank you, God, for calling me farther out of this dark world. Thank you for opening my eyes up to see the things. I mean, more and more people today, their eyes are being opened to the evilness that's trying to come against not just America, but around the world. A lot of the lies are being exposed. And the reason being that is the intercessory prayer of the saints praying for God the truth. Let the truth be revealed. Let the eyes of those who are deceived be open. Why? Because if they stay the way that they are, they will perish. And God doesn't want anybody to perish. Amen? Just praying for their eyes to be open. I pray for our leaders all the time for their eyes to be open. God's heart is that they would not perish. They're wrapped in a bunch of evil stuff that's being used by evil. But I pray that their eyes be open before it's too late, that they'll come to know God and know the Son, Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. Snatch one more out of the hands. You know, just like the thief on the cross. He done all the work for the devil, did he not? Sound like it. Well, the background we know, he was in prison, he'd done all kind of stuff. Amen. Satan had him. He said, yeah, he'll be in hell with me. Just like that, the last second, he's in heaven. All the stuff that he worked through that man, all the evilness he might have caused through that guy, all the fear and the hatred, he was redeemed from that. Can you imagine guys having a car, having a 65 GTO one more time? Can you imagine? And you spend all the time waxing it and putting the parts back on it, and it's beautiful. I mean, if you took it to auction, oh my land, it'd bring you $300,000 today. Maybe $310,000 if Rick was there, I'm not sure. And you take it there to the auction house, man, I'm going to get my money out of it. And you come back, you park it there, you come back next morning for the auction, and it's gone. How furious would you be of all that work and all this precious thing that you put your whole time into, have somebody snatch it away from you? Or folks, to me, that's how Satan would feel. He puts his time and energy and all this corruption and lies into people's lives. And man, he's got him doing all his dirty work and doing all this stuff in the world. And then, boy, the last second, some Jesus freak shows up and tells him about the gospel. And he surrendered his life to Jesus. Amen. You know the rejoicing in heaven for that person? is just as great for one who followed Jesus all their life. Can you imagine that? Woo! That's awesome. That is awesome. Let that motivate you again. God works through your prayers. He works through your intercessory. He works through your life. And what you're doing, you know, there might be people that you are to pray for that you don't care for. But God wants us to do that. Okay? And let His heart, God's heart will change your heart. We got to look beyond what they're doing today and look what God has for them, what God wants for them. Let that motivate us in order to continue to intercede for one another and for this world that God's called us to do, to make a difference. Satan wants to get so bad that we all just turn our back on him. He wants us to get to the point of heaven. Shoo! Just let them all go to hell. I'm telling you what. But man, we can't let that happen. Because one by one, more people are still coming to the Lord. And I'm telling you, when the devil thinks he's got them, when he thinks he's got this world, boom, man, I'm telling you what, the church is going to raise up our ashes. I'm telling you what, they're going to be triumphant. I'm telling you, woo, we talk about a spoiler alert. And then that trumpet will sound and we'll be going home, guys. We'll be going home. Romans 13:11, I think that's where I'm at. Okay, I'm going to be on 11, I'm going to start with 8. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is a fulfillment of the law. Do this, knowing the time that is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now, salvation is nearer to us than when we believe. Now you say, well, how can it be nearer to us now? I mean, I'm born again. The complete salvation is when we're out of this world. Amen? That is the completion of that. That's why I said, work out your salvation daily. One more day. One more day, and man, I'm telling you, to be in the presence of the living God, to have a new body, to have no more sickness, no more pain, but the arthritis is gone, all that stuff is gone. I'm telling you what, completeness, from head to toe, our spirit, our soul, man, that day is coming. The night is almost gone, and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness, and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. Amen. Amen. Let these words here be our direction. Let it be our anthem. Let it be, okay, he says, don't, let's do this. Let's just do that, okay? Let's just surrender completely to him. Let him have every access of our life. Just totally nothing about Jesus. Every decision you make, every place that you go, take Jesus with you. Let his light shine. And don't be scared. You know, nervous or restricted, or I won't say scared. Don't think you're not good enough. Because Christ is in you. Christ is in you. I'm trying to think of some of the car drivers. Mary Andretti, I don't know, somebody, I don't know. But you take a driver, a race car driver. Anybody know any race car drivers? Okay, who? Jeff Gordon, okay. You take them and put them in any car and step back, and them guys can drive, right? I mean, wow. I mean, if he's going to go somewhere and he's going to go with you, it'd be kind of dumb for yourself to drive when you got an expert driver sitting beside you. Switch places and let him drive. It's the same with us. Christ in us. What we do for him, we don't do on our own. He does it through us. Get to the points that mine, well, I'm going to say, but I'm going to step up there and Lord, just use me. You know, I did that Friday. Was Friday? John Kimberly's funeral, was that Friday? Yeah. Now I step up a couple of notes and say, Lord, just leave me. And he leaves me. But I'm no different than you. Lord, leave me. Do I have some preparation? Yes. Do you have preparation? Yes. You're reading the Word of God, aren't you? Amen. You don't know everything you're going to say when you talk to somebody. Trust and rely on the Holy Spirit to lead me. You know, Lord, not my will, but your will. Lord, keep my mouth shut and let your mouth run through my mouth. You know, stuff like that. And just let him lead you to make a difference. And don't surrender to anything but Jesus. Amen. God is awesome. Be encouraged, guys. You're making a difference. I don't care how dark it looks. You're making a difference. Without us, without Christ in us, this world would not have a chance. But because of Christ living in us and many, many believers around the world, we are making a difference for the kingdom one day at a time. Amen. Father in heaven, we just thank you for your word today. God, we thank you for your wisdom and your guidance that you give us. We thank you, God, yes, that you, the joy of you, Lord, is our strength. We thank you, Father God, for your word being alive and active and never ever stopping, never coming back void. Thank you, Lord, that you take the pressure off of us. Thank you, God, for rekindling our hearts. Thank you for the restoration of joy and peace in our life. Thank you for your wisdom and guidance. Thank you for the supplies that you give us. And thank you for all the blessings we receive from you for us and to bless others with, Lord. And Lord, every one of us here today, we just bow to you, Father, saying without you would be nothing. Without you, we have no hope. Forgive us, Father, for times that we do trespass. Thank you for not casting us out. Thank you for rejoicing that we come back to you, Father. May we be all that we can be for you, Lord. Encourage brothers and sisters one more day, one more hour, knowing that our reward is coming. But may all that we do for you. Our reward is salvation. Our reward is being born again. Our reward is our sins have been forgiven. Everything else, God, is for you and for Jesus. So we thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.